I'd like to share under the link with those who are happy because I wasn't here. I spoke and I know I'm still recuperating from last week. But we really
out of it, you know, 4 layers, and finally, the RAM, those hair was missing, and all these things, like the Lord is the only powerful tool. These things really, really, really blew me up, and I was crying to the Lord, saying, Lord, you are so real, because when you look at the tabernacle, it's something that amazing. And then when we came to the boards, that we were together with the rings, and this really blew my mind. I've been sharing with my kids, you know, that we are like Thomas sometimes, right? That we're Thomas, that we doubt, and we need to see to believe. And I have seen in the last 2 weeks when I seen this tabernacle, I have my faith really. Really God is strong. And I give the Lord thanks for all these revelations and the tabernacle. And now we came to this new revival. But I haven't really studied really much. I enjoy this much, and I enjoy this message. And it's day 3. I enjoy day 3, where it says, John 3:12, again, the Lord Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall by no means walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And we have the light, right? We have the light. But the light is what has to shine out of this light. And only He can do it. He is like the full layer. He's the only one that can really destroy the enemy. He's the fine linen that can shine, man. Like the acacia wood with the overlaying gold. You know, it's the gold, the overlaying gold that has to shine. Right? We are the acacia wood, but He's the overlaying gold that must be shining. And it's really touched me a lot that we are the light of the world. We must be like luminaries. You know, when the people see us, they should see the luminaries. Not Sergio, not Rodney Kyle, but Jesus. And also, one that I usually, I really identify a lot of this when we were prayer reading is day six, and therefore, said Corinthians, therefore I am well pleased with weaknesses, which is the faults and necessities, and persecution and stress on behalf of Christ. When I'm weak, then I'm powerful. You know, I really experienced this a lot in my life. You know, and I think it's the older ones over here, I think we went through a lot. And actually, what I always say is, when I'm weak, I'm strong. I always tell that, you know, to myself, because I'm in Christ. Every time I go through suffering or through some tribulation, because my job is kind of my job is not an easy job. I always risk in my life. So I say, oh Lord, thank you. You're always helping me. You're always saving me. You're always, what a mercy He has with me. But even though I'm not good, I make mistakes. Sometimes, I get so, I get a little rough with my kids, a little strained with food. But I say, oh my God, yes, I'm sorry for it. She left the lights on. I shut off the car, my lights went on, and I got a little upset. But then the Lord spoke to me and said, no, that's not the way. That's not the way. So sometimes we get, we get stressed. you know, and we get persecuted because sometimes when I talk to some of my students about the Lord, or some of my neighbors, usually they think I'm crazy. And our neighbors in New York, we all, you know, kind of laugh because I always tell them about the Lord, or, you know, and, but I really identify with this, you know. I went through all of this, I think, not much as well, but I went through a lot. And I mean, your brothers could testify to that. You've been going through a lot, you went through a lot. And I really enjoyed this week. I enjoy every week, but I enjoy the last 2 weeks before I enjoy all my goodness. I'm still recuperating from the last 2 weeks, really. It was a lot. Okay. So I want to leave touch on some of those questions.
So I just like to share something I enjoyed from this week. So this is a point made in day 3, and I really enjoy that every change in our spiritual condition depends upon meeting God. And this matter of meeting God actually requires us actively coming to seek Him too. That's really what I was really touched by, because right, it requires our cooperation with God, and I think in verse John 8:12 it says that God is light and He is the light of life. So when we come to Him, He shines on us and we receive His light. And there's just this little portion that I like to read that I was really touched by. It says that at the end,
which day?
Oh, day three. Yeah. It says that at the end of a year, we need to go before God and settle the accounts related to our spiritual condition. We need to consider before the Lord how we have spent our time, the things in which we failed and in which we overcame. We need to consider the areas in which we responded to the Lord's demands and in which we rejected the Lord's will. We need to bring our spiritual condition before the Lord in order to settle accounts and have a proper clearance so that we can have a new beginning. Right, so, I mean, today is January 10th, right? So we're still in the first month of a new year, and so there's still plenty of time for us to turn to the Lord and make a proper conclusion, and look forward to a new year.
I was very touched by this message. Actually, you know, every year, you know, if you are working, like at work, we actually have annual evaluation. It's like 20 pages.
Right.
You need to specifically say what you have done last year. You know, like how much time you spend with the students, you know, by hour. You know, everything must be specific. And I was very touched by John's story that, you know, actually, in the world, we actually have this conclusion and new beginning. And it's more important that we also have this conclusion and plan spiritually. Because, you know, if we don't know what we have done, actually, it will be more difficult for us to plan ahead, right? In here, it says that we really need to consider before God. I was very touched by the 2 points that you mentioned. One is that actually, you know, different from the world, we just, you know, look at how we make money, we can get more things done. One thing different is that we actually want to come before the Lord. We want to see the light. Because when we see the light, we meet God. And then, you know, we will know when we are short of. So the first step is to come to see, come to meet the Lord. And then, you know, the Lord will bring us to get the resurrection. So, you know, we confess to the Lord, you know, what we are short of. And then we just, you know, the Lord will comfort us and we will go on. But actually this morning, you know, when I prayed, the Lord really reminded me this week's Exodus message is regarding the boards and the pillars. I think that actually this week's message we read already last year. If we just stay, you know, here and just say, you know, every time we will just confess, we will confess every day, and we will, you know, individually, we will grow. I really think that it's not enough, because I think that most of you, most of us, we are actually in the church life already. I think that the Lord actually wants to move further in us. So I think in the message it says that, do you prefer to be a board or to be a pillar? Actually, we know that the pillars actually require more of work, right? Because the workman's skill must be more skillful. That means that for those who are pillars, they are actually built more by the Lord. They probably suffer more, but then their testimony is stronger. They have a stronger part. I really pray to the Lord that, you know, this year, I don't know if you noticed, there is actually a subheading that says, discipline, spiritually, discipline. I think that sometimes we probably have this concept saying that, you know, in the world, everything has to be organized, so, you know, it's not spiritual at all. So in the church, actually, we can just, you know, depending on the Spirit. So nothing should be planned. We just, you know, every time we just come, just according to the Spirit leading, and we will do this, we will do that. But actually, I think here, it actually shows us the law of revival. Actually, it's very organized. It's very organized. I really pray that this year, you know, I will have more discipline, spiritual living before the Lord. And it's not like, you know, because the excitement after we listen to a message or go to a training, but it's actually day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. And then, you know, from those small changes, then we will have bigger changes and big change.
I'd just like to highlight some of the points that I enjoyed from reading through this week. And then, you know, since obviously you can share what you enjoyed also. So this week talks about the significance of the new year. And as we move through, we see several laws that the Lord puts before us. And if we grasp and apply those laws actually to our life and living, it will have a great revival. It will actually change who we are if we grasp what these laws are. But so the week begins with showing that in God's creation, God also created things in the old creation with very specific laws, right? So he created, firstly, the life errors, right? That's why we see in day one, we see in Genesis, he created two life errors, one greater and one lesser. So the greater life error is the, what's that? is the sun, right? And the lesser life error reflects the sun, right? And it's the moon. So that's why the sun rules the day and the lesser life error rules the night. Okay, but the reality of the life error is actually God. That's why we, you know, so many saints prayed, you know, during the during the prayer reading that, Lord, you rule the day and you rule the night. Okay, so because of these two bodies, okay, of the sun and the moon, we actually have days, months, and years, right? So the days are because the earth rotates on its axis, and as it rotates in 24 hours, throughout the world, you only have one, you know, you only have a stretch which is actually close to the sun. So in 24 hours, you have a day, no matter where you live in the world, right? And so, and then you have the year. The year is if the, when, you know, obviously when the earth rotates around the sun in one revolution. That's it. So it takes 365 and a quarter days for that to happen. And so now, so the greater life bearer is responsible for the day and for the year. And the lesser life bearer, the moon, is responsible for the months. Right? So when the moon rotates around the earth, approximately 30 days or so, that will then be the moon. So eventually, you know, the calendars is produced from this way. It's actually very interesting historically, as a historical note. You know, we now adopt what's known as the Gregorian calendar, and the Gregorian calendar was actually named after Pope Gregory. It actually was only adopted in the 16th century, so it wasn't that long ago. And Greece only adopted it in the early 20th century. So there's many, many calendars. This can actually be a topic of a lot of discussion of what calendars people follow. But the whole world now basically follows this Gregorian calendar because they have leap years now, and because before then there was no such thing as leap years. So anyway, so through this calendar we can see God is established, right? The day, the months, and the years. Okay, and so so now, because there's this regular change, you go from day to night, there's this change every day. Okay, spiritually, so everything that we see in the old creation, there's a reality in the new creation. Okay, so the old creation we see day and night. And the reality is, and according to God's ordinance, is that every morning we need to be revived. Okay, that's what God has ordained. So if we follow this principle, then we will also be revived. So every morning we have to comply. That's why the priest had to burn the offering every morning. That's what it says in the verse. That's why we pray read that verse. So we need to what? Burn the offering every morning.
Amen.
So that is regardless of how we feel. Right? Just regardless of how you feel, the sun is going to rise in the morning. If you don't feel good about it, too bad. It's still going to rise. Okay? So in the morning, the principle is, no matter how we feel, we must be revived by touching this light bearer himself. Right? Because he's available now through the sun and through the spirit. And so we need to understand this principle that every morning we also need to be revived. Then also, every month we need to be revived. And then every year. So that's what Zhao and Ping shared. You know, at the end of the year, you know, in humanly, you know, everyone, you have to account for what happened through the end of the year.
Right.
You know, if you have a business, at the end of the year, it's actually the busiest time because the accountant wants all the reports, you know, of everything that happened at the end of this year. And he wants to know what exactly happened. And you have, you know, for all these tax purposes, you have to figure out what's going on in the accounts by the end of the year. Well, just as it is humanly, spiritually, we also have to have an account what happens every year. We need to go before the Lord and say, Lord, what happened this year? And Lord, what do you want me to do in order to gain you more the following year? So we also have this reality spiritually. Okay, so now we move through the week. And so one of the principles is of the days, the months, and the years. The reason why they're so recurring is because it represents death and resurrection.
Amen.
Okay, so this is one of the principles. Death and resurrection. So in the human realm, you have the days, the months, and the years. But in the spiritual realm, what that represents is death and resurrection. Death because it ends. resurrection is because it's a new beginning.
Amen.
Right? So with us spiritually, in everything, there is death and resurrection.
Right.
But we cannot, even if we had a good experience, right? We should not be those people who are just dwelling in our good experience.
Amen.
Right? So in other words, you know, I was at the full-time training, you know, maybe, maybe 30 years ago. Okay. Now, if I'm dwelling in my experience of the full-time training from 30 years ago, it was so sweet. Even to this day, I remember so sweet, you know, being there and being with the brothers and sisters. But imagine in 30 years, all I think about is how great it was at the full-time training, you know, 30 years ago. Then we miss the point. Okay. Because we're here not to dwell in whatever is good or bad. We have to forget the things behind and stretch forward to the things before. So by doing this, we have the principle of death and resurrection. But in real death and resurrection, obviously, we have to come to the Lord, right? Every spiritual change in our life comes through meeting light. Every spiritual change in our life comes through meeting light. And God is light. Okay, so without meeting God, there can never be any significant, any real spiritual change, right? So if we try to do something on our own, we try to correct our behavior, we think that what brothers and sisters think we need to do, we know what we should do to serve correctly, that doesn't mean anything. That's not a real change. It's outward behavior, right? Just like in the hymn, we're not here to correct ourselves. It's vain. All right, but the real reality comes when we actually touch light, and that light is because He Himself is this light bearer that has death and resurrection as a principle. Lastly, what really touched me is we move on, and then we see the law of revival. You know, this point really touched me because, you know, in our spiritual life and in our human life, you know, we feel, this is where the comparison is made, many times we feel tired, we feel thirsty, or we feel hungry, right? Those are the examples that we're given. So what do? We automatically eat, sleep, you know, rest, and drink. Eat, drink, and sleep, right? Because there's this demand in our human life that's calling for that. And then we automatically respond to that, right? Spiritually, the same thing happens to us. We become dead. We become tired. We're burdened. And then you have no power, no energy. You know, when does that become apparent? A lot of times, right before the meeting. I'm too tired. Right when you're a student, a lot of times, like, I remember when I was you know, I'm just too tired. You know, well, how come you never tired any other time? But right before the meeting, I'm just too tired. Okay. But when these things happen in our life continuously, right, spiritually, we become tired, we become thirsty, we stay in that condition. We don't realize at that point there is a law of revival. We need to apply this law. The law of revival dictates that we what? We need to come meet Christ. We have to turn to Him. Because when we turn to Him, those things become satisfied. That's why Jesus very clearly decreed, come to me. He said very clearly, come to me. We cannot think ourselves out of it. We cannot will ourselves out of it. We can't do anything to get ourselves out of that situation when we're spiritually dead and oppressed. The only thing that will get us out of it is if we come to Him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, we have the answer.
Amen.
We can come to Him.
Amen.
But what do most of us do most of the time? It says we wallow in that, and we become oppressed, depressed, and then you look at all of our situations, you talk to someone long enough, everyone's depressed. Because no human situation is good. All right, that's the curse that we have. You look at anyone's situation, you say, oh, look, this person's got his act together. You talk to that person in their life, and you dig a little bit, eventually everything's oppression. Everything's depression. Okay, why? Why? Because that's the human condition.
But once we sense that, listen, we have this law of revival.
Amen.
We need to realize this law.
Amen.
We need to apply this law.
Amen.
And then what? We need to come to Him.
Amen.
And then when we come to Him, we automatically become revived.
Amen.
This is the discipline of spiritual living that we really need. The discipline is to come. The discipline is not to run. Because the human situation is, I don't feel good, and what? We just run. And we isolate ourselves. And we don't want to see the saints, and we don't want to fellowship. And, you know, I remember one brother when I was in college, he would always want to call me for morning revival, you know, and he always wanted to call really early in the morning. And every time that phone rang, I was like, oh, my brother's calling me again. And then you feel like, I'm so tired to time to get up. And there are some times where, you know, I got up, I really enjoyed the Lord with Him. And the other times I was like, oh no, let me just lift the thing, go to an answering machine, and let me avoid the brother. But if we avoid, what ends up happening is we eventually stay in our condition. So sometimes we're too weak, we need the saints to help us. Right? That's why it's good to come to the meeting. Hallelujah. Many times, how many times have we had this experience that we have no strength to say anything, nor do we have any interest to say anything in the meeting, but yet we come anyway. And then after we come, after we leave the meeting, we feel revived.
Yes.
We feel strengthened. Why is that? Because at the meeting with all the saints, we met that one. We met Him. And meeting Him now means that we become revived.
Amen.
So praise the Lord that we have all these opportunities. We can see this in the physical realm, in God's realm. We can see the day turning into night. We can see the months. We can see the years constantly changing. So we have this change. But similarly, in our spiritual life, we need to be disciplined that every time, especially, we need to continue to come to the Lord every morning, regardless of how we feel. And then, when we are feeling down, because there will be times, many times in our life, you know, like for the surgery, I was surprised saying that every day that his life is in danger, you know, when he's working. When something happens in our situation, we need that at that point, because we're down. At that point, the law of revival, we need to realize, applies.
Amen.
And the discipline at that point is, Lord, I come to You.
Amen.
Amen.
So praise the Lord that we have these laws in the physical realm, but even more so, we have the reality in the spiritual realm.
Amen. Full of encouragement.
Amen.
We are all encouraged.
Amen.
I appreciate our brother sharing. You know, this law of revival is it's proven.
Amen.
And tested.
Right.
It works.
Amen.
It's just like gravity. You know,
amen.
When you drop something while you're on Earth, it's proven.
Right.
There's no uncertainty.
Correct.
Same thing with the days, right? We all go to sleep and we have the full assurance, right? The sun will rise in the morning.
That's right.
As long as, you know, the Lord's not back yet. We're sure, right? We don't need to live in anxiety. In the same way, in our Christian life, there is this law of revival.
Amen.
When we turn to our spirit,
amen,
we will be revived.
Amen.
No questions asked.
Amen.
Check with your own experience. I check with mine. Every time, without fail, when we turn to the Lord in a genuine and open way,
amen.
Of course, by the covering of His precious blood,
right,
we can be revived.
Amen.
We can experience His resurrection life.
Amen.
You know, I really appreciated this week's portion. I don't know about you, but Brother Lee, he gives his own testimony, and that encouraged me so much. I just want to read this short paragraph. When I was saved by the Lord's grace, I truly experienced the Feast of Passover. At that time, I had an earnest desire to pursue the Lord, read the Word, preach the Gospel, and offer material things. However, as men, we are weak, and even though I had such a desire, I was not successful in practice. Sorry, this is page 2. Instead, I failed frequently. As I look back at my life during those years, I feel as though I was short in reading the Word, poor in prayer, loose in preaching the Gospel, and unfaithful in material offerings. Many times it seemed like I had reached the end of a month marked by a waning and even a disappearing moon. Yet, amazingly, at these very moments, a new spiritual moon would arise.
Amen.
I was able to let the previous experiences pass and begin again as if
Word the first day of a new month.
Amen.
On the first day of this new month, my reading of the Word was fresh.
Amen.
My prayer was enjoyable.
Amen.
And my zeal for preaching the gospel was stirred up again.
Amen.
I was in the enjoyment of the shining of the new spiritual moon.
Amen.
This shining would last for several weeks, as if my experience like the moon was rising to the full.
Amen.
However, a full moon does not last very long.
Amen.
It was not uncommon to lose the sense of fullness in my spiritual pursuit.
Amen.
Okay. I really like this following portion. Consequently, at a certain point, and often for no apparent reason, I would not feel like getting out of bed. This, mind you, this is Brother Lee talking. How many of you have struggles getting out of bed? I do. I'm so encouraged. I'd rather have the same struggle. I also would lose my desire to read the Bible. My strength for prayer, my interest in preaching the gospel, this was the waning of my spiritual mood. However, after 8 or 10 days in this condition, it would seem as if the moon had disappeared completely. Rather than light, I had a sense only of darkness. Even in the midst of this discouragement, however, there would be the coming of a new moon.
Amen.
Then once again, I would feel like getting up in the morning, reading the Bible, praying, and preaching the gospel.
Amen.
I believe that we all have had such experiences related to the spiritual new moon.
Amen.
So I really appreciate our brother's just personal testimony, his experience, because it matches all of us. You know, we're all the same.
Yeah.
We're all going through the same cycle over and over again.
Correct.
And somehow, over time, we get tripped up. You know, when we fail, we face self-condemnation. We wallow in misery. We're like, oh, woe is me. I'm the only one. Somehow, I'm the only one who's not making it, you know, in the church life or the Christian life.
Right.
But the fact is, all of us, we're all the same.
Right.
And we're all going through this process.
Right.
And in this process, something is taking place.
Right.
You know, this portion of the ministry is from this book, God's Need and God's Goal.
Mm.
And in this matter of the significance of the new year, I just want to read the other three chapters. Because this is part of this whole book. And so the significance of the new year, that's chapter 1. And then he goes on to share about not being discouraged when we fail. Okay? Following that, failure is enabling man to experience more God.
That's right.
And then, okay, he's driving home something. Okay? This is his last chapter. God's goal being to enter into man and mingle himself with man.
Right.
So brothers and sisters, this is the whole point.
Amen.
You know, why do we need to experience a revival? Why do we always need to have a new beginning? Why should we forget the things which are behind and press on? It's because God has his goals.
Amen.
His goal is to mingle himself with man.
Amen.
And so we shouldn't worry about our past. We shouldn't be tripped up about our failures. No, we should just turn back to the Lord.
Yeah.
I'll just end with a little something that I also enjoyed this past week. This was pertaining to the training. In Message 11, Brother Andrew was sharing about the anointing of the compound spirit. And there was a part in his message, and again, same line. You know, the point of the anointing is to what? It's to paint us. It's to paint us with the triune God.
Yes.
It's to seal us with the Spirit.
Amen.
And so many times, and you sharing this, is that as believers, we're so concerned and consumed with our failures.
Yeah.
But he shared that even in those times when we fail, guess what's happening? The painting is taking place.
Amen.
As long as we turn to the Lord, we are able to be painted.
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, hallelujah!
Amen.
We can be full of hope.
Amen.
So much encouraged.
Amen.
Right? Yes, this is a new year. This is a new beginning. This is a new week. Today we can experience a new day. Actually, throughout the day, we can always experience Christ as a real new beginning.
Amen.
And we can always, right, be under such, right, mingling, right, such a painting that's taking place.
Amen.
For God's goal of mingling himself into us.
Amen. Amen.
we just want to read these few sentences together.
Amen.
In the New Testament age, this is day six. In the New Testament age, Christ is everything to us. If we are down, he is in ascension. If we are dead, he is resurrection. If we are weak, he is strong. And if we are in darkness, he is light. Every weakness that we possess enables us to see a particular virtue of Christ. He can meet the need in every weakness. Amen. Hence, as Christians, we have no reason to be continually miserable. We should rejoice when we are miserable. Neither do we have any reason to stay weak for a long time. We should be strong when we are weak.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. They're also related. I'm not in the same one of your Bible, obviously, but from the training, this past training, for those of us who heard it, heard the messages or watched them live, we have the tabernacle and all the items in the tabernacle, and each of them has a specific requirement for the priest to serve as the priesthood. And even after a year and a half of the training, I'm realizing that I'm, you know, totally inexperienced and inadequate in my own being a priest. You know, a priest is expected to spend time at the altar, burn offering, the laver, the table of the bread of the presence, lighting the lamps and the lampstand, the incense altar, and spending time before the ark in the Holy of Holies. Each one of these has a requirement, right? We read the burnt offering needs to be, you know, the fire needs to be burning continually. The labor, they had to wash in the labor between each aspect of furniture. They had to make sure the bread on the table of the bread of the presence was always arranged perfectly.
Right.
The lampstand always had to be lit, and they would have to trim the wicks, and, you know, depending on the need at the time. The incense altar, especially, I think that's the hardest one. We have to pray for God's move on the earth, and I'm like, I have no idea what that means to pray for God's move on the earth. And then finally, the ark, spending an adequate personal time with the Lord, experiencing resurrection life there. So each of these has something very high. When I heard these messages, you know, it was enjoyable in one sense, but on the other hand, it was also a little bit discouraging, because it's something for a mature Christian, someone who's been experienced after many years in the church life, and I'm clearly not there. But in 1 Peter 2:4, it says, coming to him. I enjoy Brother John sharing that the purpose of the law of revival, or the key to the law of revival, the key to all the laws, actually, any spiritual law, is these three words, coming to him. Christ is the reality of every aspect, every furniture object in the tabernacle.
Right.
You know, in the book of John, he said he's the lamb. He's the lamb of God.
Right.
The laver, right? He washed the disciples' feet. The table, the bread of the presence. I'm the living bread.
Right.
The lampstand. I'm the light of the world.
Right.
The incense altar. Praying in John 14 through 17,
right,
to lead to the ark, which is Christ in God, in Christ, you know, and us being incorporated with that divine incorporation. So every aspect of the furniture isn't for us to realize that on one hand it is, we're not there, you know, we can't serve as priests. But if we see each aspect as Christ himself,
right,
then we realize we just need to come to him.
Right.
We come to him and touch his aspects of him, we're able to do it.
Amen.
So, you know, after everyone's sharing, I think the three words that I'm taking away just from that verse in 1 Peter, coming to him.
Amen.
Our job is just to keep coming to him.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus, come to your door.
Yeah.
I am going to have to address this before someone else speaks to me. So it's concerning the law of radical. That seems to be the topic today. If we know the law of radical, being required will be a spiritual matter. We do not need to be weighed down or held up to being able to bear the carry on. We pray desperately and touch the Lord accidentally before we can rise up. We need only to know this law and know that the Lord is dwelling in us with all his riches. Whenever we feel deadened, weighed down, or oppressed, or when we suffer the attack of our environment, we should draw upon the Lord's grateful, and we will be revived immediately. As long as we know the law of revival, it will not be difficult to eat when we are hungry and to drink when we are thirsty. And the last verse is there, may God enable us to see the law of revival and to apply this law so that we would be delivered from the self
enterprise. The more we experience the cycle of revival, the more our elements will increase, and the element of Christ will increase.
Amen.
This is the way for us to grow and be strong.
Amen.
And just as the word is, God will keep coming to us.
Amen.
I'm also very touched by this coming to Him. Come. All the discipline. The purpose of our being disciplined by the Lord is to be able to establish a habit and to come into Him.
Amen.
You know, in our vocabulary, very often we have very negative concept about habit, right, or tradition. But actually, if you look at our experience, you will know that established proper, healthy spiritual habit is very important. Even talking about this spiritual realm, physical realm, habits is indispensable.
Sure.
A child growing process during the growth, actually they are trying to establish proper habits. Without habits, even you cannot walk. Right? They are learning. When they learn to walk, they are learning to take, train their legs to establish some kind of habits, right, to walk. And without habit, we cannot talk. Right? And we don't know how to walk. Every time, if we just waiting for anointing to do things, then there's nothing we can do. This week, the Lord touched me. We need to continue to establish a proper healthy habit before the Lord. I think it's really a good with our church wide goal, right? And sitting and pray. It's very hard, but it's doable. Daily words. Without, very often, sometimes we are in some situation, we are really in darkness, and we are waiting for something. We hope the Lord is the mercy God. So when we are in very deep darkness, He will just come to save us. Sometimes it happens, but if we don't know the Lord, then we are waiting for something, maybe the Lord will wait until a year later. But He is waiting for us to discover this law, so we can cooperate with Him.
Amen.
So if we have this habit, we come to the Word every day. We won't need to wait. We stay in the darkness for that long. It's true, not every time when we come to the Word, we are really every time we feel, we meet the Lord, we have a shining. But without this habit, we basically have no way to meet with the Lord, right? We cannot just think it's like a call, on the way to Damascus, right? The light just shining. I really believe that Paul can have this shining is he actually is a very disciplined person. There's a face the Lord can have this kind of shining, heavenly light shining on him. And we really need to have this realization. Disregard everything is habit. We really need to have this help. We have this aspiration to establish healthy habit before the Lord. So that will help us to grow.
Amen.
In this 2018.
Amen.
Amen.
publisher. Yeah, so I appreciate it. I was just reading, in my personal reading, I was reading through the Law of Revival as of late. And it's really interesting to see revival, we may think revival refers to a spiritual awakening, where after we're down, we're cold, we fell into sin, we went back to the world, and then we need a revival so that we could be risen up to love the Lord and pursue the Lord again. Actually, you mentioned in this, there's, even for those, yes, if you have done this, you need to be revived. But even for someone who hasn't stumbled, or hasn't backslidden, or hasn't become cold, you still need a revival. He mentions, even a person that does not stumble, become more backslide, becomes cold, he still needs a revival, because being revived is a law of the spiritual life.
Yeah.
So to really see that there is a law of revival, and this is a law that governs actually every aspect of our spiritual life, this is really enlightening.
Yeah.
Especially that we wouldn't have revival isn't one thing over the course of our entire life. Actually, Brother Lee mentions, and through we see in the physical life, that there are cycles of revival that run through the course of our entire human life.
Right.
So there is always a beginning, there's a course, and there's an ending. And when we reach the end, we need to recognize we need to have another beginning. Mm. Another beginning, another course, and another ending. And there's cycle after cycle that goes through this. You mentioned, it mentions here, when we are in a pause after a cycle of revival, that is when we are not satisfied, we gain a particular knowledge concerning ourselves. This is also a law. And he mentioned when we're in a revival, we tend to be elated, and we tend to be not so cognizant of certain things, and it's only when we are down that we actually begin to have a clearer view about things. It says when we are excited, we're not as clear about the condition of things. We tend to be optimistic, we feel good about everything. But when we are calm after the excitement, we are sober within, and we're able to see things clearly. And it's a person knows himself better when he is down. When a person is down, his weaknesses and problems become manifest. And it's after revival, our real condition will become manifest, and we will see our weaknesses. So this is a law. Even to see our weaknesses is a law. And it says, we normally feel that our weaknesses are terrible. However, our knowledge and experience of Christ are based upon the knowledge of our weaknesses. If we don't know our weaknesses, it'll be hard for us to know more concerning Christ. It's actually when we discover our own weaknesses that we begin to find and discover a particular aspect of Christ that really meet our need. This is the start of a revival, yet again. And he mentioned, if we are skillful in the application of the law of revival, it will be difficult for us, it will not be difficult for us to be revived. It will be unnecessary for us to remain in a state of oppression for a long time. When we feel oppressed, we will see a weakness in ourselves, and this weakness will enable us to see an aspect of Christ, and then we can be revived again. He says, this is the law of revival. And we need to see it so that we can experience another revival, and we can apply the law of revival in our daily life. This is very encouraging. I mean, we see weaknesses, but this is not where so that we can wallow in them. And actually, he said many Christians get really, actually, their Christian life gets pretty ruined because they collapse. They said they only look at their weaknesses, and then they collapse. They don't see Christ to actually, in the midst of their weaknesses, they don't see a particular dimension of Christ to meet their need in those weaknesses, so that they can have another revival. Anyway, I'm just so encouraged. This is a law,
right.
And we need to apply this law in our day-to-day Christian life.
Amen.
I only made it to day 4. We were just talking about 1-2. I wish I had made it to day 5 and day 6, because right before coming into the meeting this morning, I was treading way down, oppressed, and suffering the attack of my environment. But I didn't even have time to step aside into the Lord. I was in myself. But I am very appreciative that I can be here in the prophesying. I was reminded of 1 Corinthians 14, where it's on the prophet, I was building up and encouragement and consolation going on. So I've been encouraged and consoled this morning.
Amen.
I really do appreciate seeing that there is this law of revival, and
learning how to apply the law of the Bible. Mm-hmm. There are just a few sentences that touch on talking about how, you know, sometimes we just have a, we get hurt or oppressed or whatever. That feeling is a sign, it says you're talking about a brother, it says, but telling us to contact Christ, cast this burden on him, and enjoy him in this matter. Mm-hmm. And if we would enjoy Christ in this way, we will immediately have a small revival. I appreciate that. And I appreciate what we brought out earlier. It's all about coming to Christ. Mm-hmm. The law is a person. And if we would see who this person is, we would realize we don't have to stay where we are because Christ is in ascension. Mm-hmm. And we have to learn how to apply this to help you be fine with him and not. I appreciated, you know, Sister Barbara, that last paragraph that says, may God enable us to see the law of revival and to apply this law so that we would be delivered from the self and into Christ.
Amen.
I just feel like, Lord, I need more deliverance from myself into Christ.
Because
the more we experience the cycle of revival, the more our element will decrease and the element of Christ will increase.
Amen.
This is the way for us to grow and be strong.
Amen.
Furthermore, in spite of our environment, I feel like my environment is just weighing me down all the time, we will be living and fresh.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Revive.
Amen.
So I just really appreciate it, you know. Praise the Lord, there is a law of revival.
Amen.
Apply it.
Amen.
We have to share. It says, we have no reason to be continually miserable.
Amen.
We have to rejoice on the earth.
Amen.
Because, you know, this is all that I am weak and I am terrible power.
Amen.
And so, actually, I'm just getting wrong here. It's an arrangement by, it's the discipline of the Holy Spirit to work in an environment to cause it. And it's kind of burden in a kind of way because that causes us to realize I need to turn.
Yeah.
I need to come to the Lord. And then actually all of these things no longer mean this doctrine of experience.
Right.
And so in my Bible reading, I'm with Jesus, and I just appreciated, you know, the prayer in chapter 1. It's like that we would be granted a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
And those are my prayers for myself and for all the things, because if we would see who this Christ is, then we would apply.
Yeah.
Then we would, if we would see this law, then we would apply.
Right.
Amen.
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 Amen. Right.